preached about that wonderful gospel this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4. How many have got that? Now, when you get 1 Corinthians 15, hold your finger there. Don't lose it. And also turn to Romans chapter 1, verse 14 through 16. Folks, I am feeling better than I think I've felt in a couple years. I'm actually feeling tremendous. I really am. I feel like a yabba-dabba-doo. Bill, you've got a new preacher. I mean, I can sleep now at night. I sleep 5 hours at a shot before I could, last 2 or 3 years, 2 years at least. I couldn't sleep more than 45 minutes before waking up at the most.
That prepared us for you.
Yeah. And that's what I get for not going to the doctor and having those blood tests, amen. So that's what I get for being hard-headed, amen. But anyways, I'm back, amen. And man, I'm feeling tremendous, and I thank you for praying. Don't quit praying for me. Do not quit praying for me. And I'm still, you know, battling the things, but once I lose the weight, it's all over then. You know, then I'm going to be like a kid again. I'm going to play ball with those guys. Maybe not this year, Steve, but I think by next year, I think the young man will be back. I think the young man will be back. Old Lefty will be back. Okay. All righty. So let's stand for the reading of God's Word. You should have 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4, and then Romans chapter 1, verse 14 through 16. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 15. Boy, I'm glad you're here today. Please, church, come back tonight to be an encouragement to all our visitors. We'll have a lot of visitors. We'll have a ton of visitors today. We will. It's out of respect and for the Lord that you come back. They come back and they don't see anybody from our own church. They'll say, man, what's the matter? Don't they care about us? How many care about others?
Amen.
Out of respect, come back. I'd like to have so many people tonight that you have to keep people up in the choir. Wouldn't that be exciting?
Amen.
It's a possibility. You could see over 100 bikers here tonight because they had a couple hundred at the other one last week. So who knows? There was an ad in the paper Thursday. There was another ad right up on Friday. Thousands of flyers went out. Plus, it's our second one, and the more you do it, the more God does work in people's hearts. So, all right, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. We ought to be declaring it. Paul declared it, which I preached unto you, which also you received, and wherein you stand. I'm going to tell you something. We stand in the gospel. And by the way, you're going to see in verse 2, we're saved by the gospel. And then I'm going to show you what the gospel is. By which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which also I received, that here's the gospel. By the way, let me get verse 2 again. By which also you are saved. You're saved by the gospel.
Yes.
You can't get saved without the gospel.
Right.
By also which you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preach you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered on, see, you're not saved by works. There's no works of salvation.
Right.
It's all faith in Christ. You hear about Christ, and you make a meditative, determined decision. Yes, I need Christ as my Savior. And you invite him in your heart. You trust him. That's salvation. For look at what he says now. Here's the gospel, verse 3 and 4. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, that which I, Paul, I also received. In other words, I got the same thing you did. How that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day, according to the scriptures. That's the gospel. Now look at Romans chapter 1 and look at verse 14. Paul said again in Romans 1:14, I'm a debtor, and so are you and I. If you're saved, you're a debtor. If one for Christ, all of us would be lost and on our way to hell. We're not our own. We belong to Jesus. He's purchased me. We're his property if you're born again. If you've believed on the gospel. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as in me, I am ready to preach. Tommy's getting to be a preaching machine, man. Oh, I'm telling you, man, he's 73 years old, 75 years old, 77 years old, man. And that guy just preaching machine. Tom, the preaching machine, man. And that was the greatest I've ever heard you preach Thursday, Tommy. That was anointed. That was phenomenal, Tom. It was outstanding. Right. Amen. Yeah, that King James Bible is the right material, isn't it? I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome. Look at verse 16. I'll let you sit down. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Brother Mike mentioned in this, when he said, a lot of times we're supposed to give that track. We're supposed to witness and we don't. We hold back because we're ashamed. Are you still with me? For I'm not ashamed. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why, Paul? For it's the power of God and the salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith. Father, thank you for the Holy Bible. Lord, it is precious, and it is the right material. It's the only material. And Father, it's a pure and inspired and preserved material, the Holy Scriptures. Help me now, Father. Lord, I know you put this in my heart. And already, Brother Mike, he didn't even know what I was preaching. His Sunday school was a pretext before what I do, what I'm going to do. And it was just a warm-up, Father, to me continue to preach that theme. So, Father, I pray with all my heart that you'll use me today to be a blessing to our people. Please, and if there's anyone here that's never trusted Christ, let them see that Jesus loves them. Let them see that they're loved and that Christ died just for them and that he was buried. And just according to the scriptures, he arose that third day. And Lord, help them to embrace Jesus and invite him in their heart and be saved. Trust him, repent of their sin, and trust in him. I pray in Christ's name, amen. Thank you, may be seated. Did you ever notice? Why is it every subject is easy for us to strike up a conversation, but with our friends and family? Like, I guarantee you, I could take any of you guys and talk about the Cavaliers, and we could strike up a conversation. I could go and talk about fishing. I could strike up a conversation with you. The ladies, I could tell, get Rosie, say, talk to them about dresses or shoes or purses or something, or talk to them about jewelry. You know, we could talk about any subject. You ever notice sports or anything around, anything? We can strike up conversations real easy. Did you ever notice that? That's amazing. Even though almost any topic in the world, we can strike up a conversation with people. But the moment we mention the name of Jesus, how many know what I'm saying? I noted when it comes to talking about Jesus, we get tight-lipped. Why is that? We freeze up. Why is that? We clam up. I wish I could do it. We have to wait another day. I won't do it today, God, but I promise you, tomorrow or next week, Lord. I know I've been putting it off for a month, but Lord, I messed up today, but tomorrow I'm going to give them that track. How many are still with me? Tomorrow I'm going to tell them about the love of Jesus. How many have ever said that have done it? I have, if we'd be honest. You know, there's a stigma when you bring up Jesus' name. There really is. Folks, look up here. The reason you and I have trouble talking about Jesus, there's a stigma. There is a stigma. That's why Listen, you could be in a lunchroom with 100 guys and talking about stock car racing or NASCAR racing, archery, deer hunting, fishing, you name it. Cavaliers, Cleveland Browns, the clowns from the Browns or whatever they're. But I think they're going to turn it around. They got a guy there that's a disciplinarian. I think they're going to. I think that kid's going to do good for us. I really do. We don't have no players, but we're going to work what he has. Cavaliers, we've got the greatest. I believe we have the greatest ball player in basketball, LeBron James. I believe he's the greatest ball player playing. Maybe one. Maybe might be the greatest that ever played basketball, LeBron. And but we could talk about those all day long. But I'm going to tell you right now, Bobby, the moment you mention Jesus, man, there's something come, a coldness comes right through the. I remember years ago when I worked at Allied Chemical before I went into ministry. I went up right out of high school, right into Allied Chemical. And after I got saved, I was excited about telling people about Jesus. And boy, that lunchroom would be, people would just be, I mean, they'd be going wild. And guys were yelling, screaming. But the moment I would mention, hey, I got saved. I want to tell you about Jesus. Woo! Man, you thought I gave him poison. How many have ever been there? And I noted this. It gets real quiet when you name the name Jesus. Listen, did you ever notice too when you name? People have to go at first word when you say Jesus, I got to go. I don't want to hear it. You want to talk about heaven and hell? Nah, I'll listen to you all day long about LeBron James, preacher, but don't talk to me about heaven. Don't talk to me about hell. Don't talk to me about sin. Don't talk to me about death. Don't talk to me about dying and perishing. Don't talk to me about Calvary. Don't talk to me about Jesus shedding his blood. Don't bring up that Bible. Boy, why'd you have to wreck the hope? We had a great day, preacher. And then you had to bring it, you had stuck your nose in and brought that Bible in. Hello? How many can say amen to that? How many know what I'm talking about? The world, Brother Jack, does not love Jesus, does not love the Bible. And by the way, we are going to a world now that's even more hating God, more hating the Bible. And we as Christians need to take a stand. I want to share a few things to help you not to be ashamed of the gospel. And boys, would you do me a favor? The chalkboard, Andy. I'm just bringing it in here. I'm going to use it at the end of my message. Notice, look at Romans 1:16 again. Paul said, "For I'm not ashamed." By the way, my message is, John, the title of my message, "Don't be ashamed of the gospel." That's the title of my message. Don't be ashamed. I was amazing, Brother Mike. You didn't know what I was preaching. And the first thing you mentioned right out of the get-go, Sunday school says, "Boy, why are we ashamed of passing these out? Why are we ashamed?" I was amazed. I said, "Boy, we're locked in." Amen? Don't be ashamed of the gospel. And notice, I want to give you a few things. But look at verse 16. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Why? "For it's the power of God unto salvation." And who can get this salvation? "To everyone that believeth." You want to go to heaven? You got to believe the gospel. Can you read that, Mark? Did I spell everything right? You're smiling. What did I do wrong, Mark? Or are you just trying to read it? See, it's good that they made me a doctor. I have doctor's writing. That's why they made me Dr. Richard E. Skyver, because of my handwriting. Do you ever notice the doctor's writing? It's scratch. That's where mine is. Notice, Paul said in the gospel, remember we read in 1 Corinthians 15, I'll get back on track here. In 1 Corinthians 15, I told you, we read it together in verses 1 through 4, Paul gave us the gospel. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and on the third day he arose again according to the scriptures. And by the way, if it's not according to the scriptures, then it's not good. Amen. Don't believe it. Everything you believe got to be according to the Bible, not what man thinks, but what God says. Let God be true and every man a liar. I don't care what I don't care if I say it. If it's not in the Bible, don't believe it. Take God over man. Isaiah 2:22 says, "Cease ye from man, whose breath is in his nostrils. For wherein is he to be accounted of?" Many times, and by the way, I'm glad you honor me. I'm glad you respect me. You should, because I got the office of pastorate. And that's good. You should do that. But don't put me up on a pedestal. I'm just a man just like everyone else. I sin just like everybody else. I have failures just like everybody else. I'm not perfect. There's only one was perfect, and it wasn't the Pope. It's Jesus. Jesus. And by the way, it's not me either, the preacher. I'm not just, no one was perfect but Jesus. And I'm far from perfect. I'm like Paul, I'm the chiefest of sinners. Run me off the road, you'll see. I'll probably say, no. I'll probably go both. That's that old fallen nature, that flesh, isn't it? We're so depraved. Hello? Hello? Paul said in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because that was the gospel is what I believed. Tommy said, that wonderful gospel is what I heard and believed. I believed, and I was saved because I believed it. Man, I'm glad I found out one day that Christ loved me. Man, I'm glad I found out one day I was on the road to Damascus, and I was going to put people in prison, and I was going to kill people, and the Christians feared me, and I did all kinds of bad things. Matter of fact, I even told them to kill Stephen, the first recorded martyr in Acts chapter 7. And man, I hated the Christians. I hated Christianity. One day I was walking down that road, and a great light came, knocked me down. I saw Christ. By the way, Jesus is the light of the world. And until you get light, we're all in darkness until we come to the light. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Amen? And so Paul said, hey, that gospel is wonderful. I'm not ashamed of it. Andy, why should we be ashamed of something that saved us from hell? Why should we be ashamed of something that says that Christ loved John 3:16, a great love story? Why should we be ashamed of that? But we are. Hello? Listen, we forget many times how wonderful the gospel is and what it's done personally for our lives. Listen, don't let the world with all their hatred and all their malice for God and Jesus get you that same mindset. Look up me. I want you to get this. Christians, we're living in trying days. We're living in pressure. I mean, people are underneath pressure and stress. I know you're going through stress. I know you're pressured. We're probably living in some of the hardest days. And by the way, they might even be harder in the days to come. Because I think Jesus is coming back soon. I really do. I believe the Lord's coming back. I believe he's coming back. Matter of fact, I really believe I'm going to preach straight till Jesus comes, unless I get run over by a truck. So, Kenny, be careful where you're driving. Amen? Listen to me. But sometimes we get a mindset. We let the world rub on us. We let the world psychologically affect us. We do. And they have. We're supposed to have an effect on them, but they're having more effect on us. See, we're the light of the world. We're the children of light. We ought to come out of darkness. Trouble is, a lot of the children of light are walking in too much darkness today. Hello? Don't let the world and all their hatred for God and Christ and the Bible put you have a mindset of having contempt for Christ and the Scriptures. I want you to look at John chapter 3 real quick with me. John, the Gospel of John. You're in Romans. Just turn back a little bit. John chapter 3. I'm going to read. We're going to read a familiar verse. John 3:15, but I'm going to read about four verses here. Look at John 3:15. That whosoever, I know I'm going to get 16 next. I like 15 too, though. Matter of fact, I like, just put your hand, Mark, you can put your finger on any one of them. I like it. Oh, I love that one. Yeah, that's good. I don't know why I'm supposed to quote this, Brother Mike, but the scripture, I'm going to quote, stay there in John 3. John chapter 5. I believe it's verse 39. It says, search the scriptures. Jesus said in John 5:39, stay there in John 3, though, I'll quote you. Search the scriptures, the Bible. For in them you think you have eternal life. How many want eternal life? Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they, the scriptures, they are they which testify of me. You read the Bible, it'll tell you about Jesus. He said, these holy scriptures will tell you about me. They'll tell you about eternal life. They'll tell you how you can get into heaven. There's a door. There is a door to heaven. Jesus said, I'm the door. There is a way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way. There is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but He's everything. Look at John 3:15. That whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Who wants to live forever? I do. For God, boy, I'm glad God loves us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm going to live forever. I'm going to die, no, never. Jesus died on the tree for me, and I'm going to live forever. I'm glad I got that promise from God. Titus 1:2 says, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. Can anyone say amen? Notice, look at verse 17. People read 16, but they ought to just keep on reading. It's so good. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. No, that ain't why Jesus came, not condemn. No, he came to set us free. But that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. You know, a lot of people don't know this, Mark. Look up here. You got to get this truth. And I told you over and over and over. People don't go to hell because of their sins. People don't go to hell because they're an adulterer. People don't go to hell because they're a liar. People don't go to hell because they're a drunkard. People don't go because they're an abuser of mankind. People don't go to hell because they're thieves. Wow. People don't go to hell because they commit suicide. Wow, now it's quiet. See, Jesus died on the cross for all sins of all man forever. Every sin that was ever sinned before he died at Calvary and that's going to be sinned in the future, every sin that you've ever committed or will commit, every sin that I've ever committed or was all covered by the blood of Christ at Calvary 2,000 years ago. Well, preacher, what sends people to hell? Unbelief. See, he died for our sins. If you go to hell, it's not Jesus' fault because he died for you. He covered your sins. There's only one sin that sends people to hell. The sin of unbelief. Rejecting Christ. That's why Mike quoted it earlier in his Sunday school. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them he became the... But as many received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. Even them believed on his name. It's not enough just to know about Jesus. You got to believe on him. And Carl, before people can believe on him, they got to hear about him. And Brother Mike, what you were trying to say, that's our job as Christians. We got to get the gospel out to a lost world so they can hear. But we're not doing it. When it comes to passing out tracts, we're afraid. Visitation, we don't show up. Oh, quiet now. Quiet, isn't it? Witnessing daily. See, to me, I believe in soul warning. I'm glad we go out every Saturday. But I'm going to tell you right now, I think we should not. See, some people say, well, I did my job. I went on soul warning on Saturday at 2 o'clock. No. I think we ought to tell Jesus about people about Jesus every day of our life. Yes. I think we ought to have official times to go out as a church. I think that gives a set time. I think that's good. But Kenny, just because we have that visitation at 2 o'clock, I think we should witness Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, every day of the week. I think when you leave this church this afternoon, if you run into somebody, you ought to talk to them. Hello? I try to talk to everybody I meet. Now, I don't talk to everybody, but I try to. I'm happy. My sins are forgiven. I'm going to heaven. How about you? Are you with me yet, church? But the world hates it. They hate him. They hate Christ. Look at that verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is, that's Jesus, come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil, watch this, hateth the light. See that verse 20? People hate us, Tommy. They don't want to hear that thing, Tom. I know you're like the little energized bunny. And boom, 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 boom. Another Bob Bevington right there in Tom Saylor. Pray for Bob Bevington. He's not doing well. He's got that flu bug. And that's the first time Bobby slowed down. But pray for Bob. But anyways, they don't want to hear it, Tom. They don't want to hear it. They hate it. You know why? It reproves them of sin. That's why the world hates us. All those Bible thumpers. I'm glad to be a Bible thumper. Amen. Listen, in John 15, 18, Jesus said, if the world hates you, we know that it hated me before it hated you. In John 3, 13, marvel not, brother, that's 1 John 3:13, marvel not, brethren, that if the world hates you. Don't be surprised if they hate you. They hated me before they ever hated you. See, Tommy, when they get mad, they're not really mad at you and me. They're mad at God and the Bible. John 7:7, the world cannot, Jesus said, the world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works there are of evil. People don't like to be told, that's not right. Hey, that's wrong. No one likes to be corrected. I don't like, but you know what? A wise man will take correction and learn. You know, a few weeks ago, and I might have this wrong because I'm not into that, but I did see it on the news. A young lady, Miss Georgia, she won some beauty contest. California? Okay. She won a beauty contest, California or something. And they asked her, one of the questions they asked her said, do you believe in gay marriage? And she said, no, I don't. I believe what God's word said. I believe that a man should be with a woman. By the way, so does God. God believes in man and wife. That's why he said, that's why he made Adam and Steve. He didn't make Adam and Steve, did he? He made Adam and Eve. But they want to change. See, they want to change that King James Bible to say Adam and Steve. Hello? But it says Adam and Eve. And all through the scriptures, God says it's good for a man to have a wife. And over in Romans, it says those that go women with women and men with men, that's an abomination. You read Romans chapter 1, it's an abomination to God. And Brother Bill, they got furious at that young lady. They got, man, that long, that one of the queers that was a judge, man, he got off. You know why? It wasn't that lady that he got mad at. He showed it on her, but he was mad at the truth of God. But see, and now they're saying, well, she shouldn't have said what she believed. That's why we're in this way we are now. Preachers aren't preaching. Christians aren't standing up. I don't know if she's a saved or not, but I think we ought to say, stand up for truth. Right's right, wrong's wrong. 2,000 years ago, right was right and wrong was wrong. And in 2009, it hasn't changed. Jesus, today, I change not. Mike quoted Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. This Bible never changes. It stays the same. What was wrong 100 years ago was wrong today. And that's an evil sin. And you young people, don't you get the philosophy, don't you get the mindset of an evil world that it's okay for them to be what they want to be. It's not okay. It's an abomination. It's evil. It's filthy. And God said, By the way, God said it's not natural. You read your Bible in Romans. Isn't this a good message? I still got to get those right there, Brother Mark, so we better be moving. Notice, we as Christians need to take a stand. But do you notice how mad they got that Miss California? Well, they it probably cost her from winning, too. But you know what? I'd rather lose. Of course, I wouldn't want her to be in that contest, but any contest, I don't care what it is. I hate to lose, too, by the way. I don't want to lose at all. But if I have to warm up to the queers, I'm not going to do it. Or anything else that's evil. We should never be. Listen, we as Christians need to take a stand for right. We should never be ashamed of our Lord Jesus Christ. We should never be ashamed of his holy word. The psalmist said in Psalms 25:2, O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Romans 9:33, Paul said, as it's written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. And whosoever believeth on him, do you believe on him? And whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. People ask my opinion. I don't think you got to go and force your opinion on people. I think that's wrong. But if people ask my opinion, I'm going to let them know it. 1 Peter 4:16 says, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Jesus said in Luke 9:26, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and his Father's and of the holy angels. Are you ashamed of Jesus? When you get out there, we'll find out if you're ashamed or not. When you can't witness, just say, well, I'm ashamed. When you can't put that track out, you're ashamed. When you can't pray, you're ashamed. Hello? Some of you can't even, you should never pray to be seen. But I don't care where I'm at, Brother Bill. And you're a preacher, I know. Yeah, he's a preacher. Before I was a preacher. Grandma, when I got saved, God really saved me. You quoted 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. God transformed my life. Man, I'm telling you, he transformed my life. Man, if your life hasn't been transformed, by the way, I'm far from being perfect, John, David. I'm far from being perfect. But man, I've been changed. That's a good change there. Notice, when Jesus said, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his glory and his Father and the angels. When you're talking to your family, now I'm getting to it. When you're talking to your family, don't be ashamed. When you're talking to your friends, don't be ashamed of Jesus. After we get saved, our families and friends should be the first we go to and tell them about the gospel story. This scripture's been on my heart all week. This is what really got me going, Carl. I thought about Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, over there in John chapter 1, verse 41. Andrew gets saved. And you know the first thing Andrew did after he got saved? I want to read it to you. John 1:41. It said, Andrew went and got his brother Peter. He first found his own brother Simon, and he said, we have found the Messiah. Hey, Pete, we found the Messiah. Man, I met Jesus. He's the real thing. You know the first people you should witness to after you get saved is your family and friends. And usually that's the last ones we do. It's quiet in here. Over in Mark 5:19, remember the maniac that Jesus cast all those demons, devils out? He wanted to go with Jesus. Remember Mark 5:19? Jesus said, he wanted to follow Jesus. Jesus said this, go home, Mark 5:19, go home, tell thy friends what the Lord had done for you. What he had done for thee. You know what? When I got saved, man, I did. I'm not kidding. Of course, preacher was so far to the left. And God saved me. I started going far to the right. People couldn't believe it. I mean, Kenny, you and Rick probably were a lot like preacher when I was there. happened to him? He's been ruined. He's not cussing no more. He's not putting those pornography pictures. Matter of fact, he's taking these little pieces of paper called gospel tracts, and he's pasting them and putting them over the filthy pictures. Oh, that gets people mad. I had a whole, that whole allied camp. They were, I took all kinds of tracts, and I put them in order so they could read everything, and I'd cover up those filthy naked women pictures. When I first, oh man, did they get mad? I still had a lot of flesh. I said, come on, you feel froggy? Go ahead and leave. Then I'm going to tell you about Jesus. I'm going to tell you right now. That's a long time ago. We're too old. We're too old for that now, Rick. And God's brought me out of that anyways. Listen to me. Why don't we get excited about Jesus? We you know what? We lose that great love. And that's why I'm Bethel, this is a great church. This is above average church. But even an above-average church can lose sight. Even an above-average church can get disconnected for a while. Even a good church can kind of get lukewarm sometimes. And I'm afraid we're not soul winning like we used to. I'm afraid that we're not praying like we were for souls. I'm afraid we're not reaching out and talking to people like we used to and sharing Christ. And I think it's because our heart's getting cold. Hello? Boy, it's quiet in here, isn't it? Listen to me. We need to really not be ashamed. Let me give you these five real things. First, five real quick. Now I'll do it in 5 minutes. 1 minute per thing. Write these down if you want on your back of your thing. Five things about not being ashamed of the gospel. First of all, don't be ashamed of the person. P-E-R-S-O-N, the person of the gospel. Who's that person? Jesus. Right. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. He's the one that suffered and died and agonized for you and I. Look, he's the one that saved our lost souls, our wretched, no good souls from going to hell. The Bible says in Peter, he was the just that died for the unjust for one reason. What was the reason? That he might bring us unto God. Hello? Corinthians says in 5:21, for God had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in him. Oh, I showed you with you on Wednesday. 2:9 of Luke, 2:9 of Hebrews, but we see Jesus who was made a little lower than the angels. He had to be lower than the angels because angels can't die. He had to go below angels, things that he created. Why? For the suffering, it tells you, he was for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Jesus tasted death for you, tasted death for me. Listen, Bobby, we should never be ashamed of the one that loved us when we were so unlovely. Jesus said, I've come to seek and to save, Mark 10:45, them which are lost. That was Luke 19:10. Mark 10:45, it says, I've not come to be ministered to, but to minister my life a ransom for many. I can go on and on. But God commended his love towards us in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you right now, God's, look up here. Everyone, you look up here. I'm almost all done. We all would go to hell. We all deserve to go to hell. But he loved us so much. There's that scripture, Tommy. Romans 8:32. God spared not his only son. In Romans 8:32, blessed, if you read that verse today, in Romans 8:32, he loved us so much he didn't spare his own son. How much more would he freely give to us? This goes on to say. Look up here. Let's not be ashamed of our Savior. I know the world don't want to hear about him, but I don't care. They're going to hear about him. Then number two, don't be ashamed of the person. Don't be ashamed of the power of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of the power. Huh. The gospel's got power in it. TNT. That's how we got saved. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. Man, that's what, man, that thing, I heard the gospel and pow! Pop! need that Jesus. God, save my soul. Jesus, I used to know you like I did George Washington in the books and history, but now I want you personally in my heart. It's the power of God. By the way, if you don't preach the gospel, if people don't hear the gospel, they cannot be saved because they have to hear it and believe the gospel to be saved. You cannot get saved apart from the gospel. That's why you got to have the Word of God, because that is the Word of God. And then number three, by the way, don't be ashamed of the power. So tell it to everyone and everywhere you go. Number three, don't be ashamed of the purpose of the gospel. The purpose. God had a purpose. Aren't you glad he did? I want to read to you. For 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. Yeah, most of the people are going to say, Bill, shut his mouth. I don't want to hear no more Italian. The purpose of the gospel, though, is the purpose is to get people saved. People must hear God's word. Look up here. How are we getting the gospel out? Has your family heard? Has your friends heard? Have they heard lately from you? Annie sang a song. Thursday. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. God's someday, boy, that was such a song and a message. One day, by the way, today might be your final call. Because we don't know when we're going. This might be my last message. I'm planning on preaching till Jesus comes. And the way I'm feeling right now, matter of fact, I think I'll just preach all the way through the tribulation. Not the trib. I'll be in heaven. I'm going to preach through the kingdom age. I'll be gone. I'm going up with the upper taker. I'm going up in the rapture. But I'll come back. I'll preach all through the millennium. I feel yabba dabba do, but you never know. Hey, Bobby, I could go. God has an appointed time for every person. He has an appointed time for me. He has an appointed time for you. Are you ready? Because this could be your final call. There is a last call that God gives. And then after that, I remember years ago, and I've used this many times, up in Michigan, the great preacher up in Michigan, Tom, thank you. Dr. Tom Malone was preaching a message. And there was a young couple in the far back, way in the back, a young couple. And he could tell during the invitation they were under conviction. And he saw them holding on. He said, man, they were holding on. And then he saw them get the songbook. This is a true story. And he wrote in the back of the songbook, we'll take our chances. Because he said, this could be your last chance. This is a true story. Tom Malone told me this. He said, this could be your last chance to be saved. You'll die without Christ and go to hell. And they wrote in that songbook, we'll take our chances. Walked out, got in a car accident, and got killed. They called Dr. Tom Malone that afternoon and said, preacher, you know that couple that was in our church this morning? They got killed in a car accident. He said, oh, my lands. He was under conviction. I saw him write something in the songbook, in the back of the songbook. They ran to the church. They got that songbook in the back and said, we'll take our chance. That was a final call. And they didn't come to God. And they died unprepared to meet God. I don't know if today's your last call or not, but I'll tell you one thing. I want to be prepared before that last call. By the way, if you're not saved, you die, you go to hell forever. There's no turning back. You can't light candles. You can't pray people out of hell. Once you go, you either go to heaven or hell, but your eternity's sealed forever when you die. So if you're saved, you go to heaven. If you're not saved, you go to hell. There's no in-between. There's no purgatory. There's no in-between. Either go heaven or hell. Then number four, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of the person, Christ, the power, the purpose. And don't be ashamed of the plan. God planned this before the world began. He planned that Jesus would come. Galatians 4:4 says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son. How many say amen to that? You know, don't be ashamed of the plan of God. Corinthians 1:17 says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made none effect. 2 Peter 3:9 says, for God... 2 Peter 3:9. For the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. That's God's plan, that everyone come and be saved. Trust Christ. God's plan was that Jesus would die for our sins. God's plan was that Jesus would redeem fallen sinners. God's plan that Jesus would die on Calvary's cross, and the third day he raised from the grave and save mankind from their lost condition. That was God's plan. By the way, pretty good. Are we taking out that plan? Are we taking it out? Are we sharing it with everybody? Then lastly, don't be ashamed. I like this. Don't be ashamed of the person. Don't be ashamed of the power. Don't be ashamed of the purpose of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of the plan of the gospel. And don't be ashamed of the product of the gospel. Rick, stand up. You're a product of the gospel.
Amen.
I'm proud of you. God bless you.
Amen.
Sit down, buddy. Look at your preacher. I'm a product of the gospel. Kenny, you're, by the way, I'm picking on my RU guys, but you know what? All of you, how many are saved here today?
Yeah.
Did you know all of you are of the gospel?
Amen.
Every one of you that have been washed in the blood that have trusted Christ your Savior, you kids, you're a product of the gospel. Are you, what kind? How good a quality is your product? Is the product putting out? Hello? I'm going to quote you the scripture and I'm all done. In James 5:20 it says this. I'll read it to you. James 5:20. Let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death. Yeah, you get people saved, and we're not going to hell. Mike, we're not going to hell. Ain't that great? If you not, see, even if you don't do anything for Christ, Rick, hallelujah. Even if you never, if you went back and ruined your life and everything, not once you're saved, you're sealed until the day of redemption. Hallelujah, we saved. Everyone's here. If you're saved, Freddie, I remember Freddie got saved here. A few years back, man, he thought he was saved, but then he realized he wasn't. Man, he came and got saved. Remember that, Freddie? I don't care what happens to you. Since you trusted Christ, your Savior, Freddie, you're sealed. You're a product of Christ. And by the way, you're going to go to heaven no matter what.
Yes.
You save a soul from death, save him from hell. But watch this. But it doesn't stop there. And hide a multitude of sins. Jill, this preacher was an alcoholic. I came off the streets of Galena, North Toledo. You that are visiting, I had a bad, wicked life when I was a kid. Started drinking when I was 14 years old. And by the time I was 18, I was an alcoholic. And I was into a lot of stuff. God saved me when I was 20. I'm so glad he saved me. If I would have died after getting saved, it would have been the greatest thing for me, because at least I went to heaven. Watch this, and I'm all done. See, it saves you. Save a soul from death. Save us from hell. But see now, and there's Eastern, and there's Rick, the guy, Rick just changed his whole life around.
Yep.
Hadn't drank for 8 months, right?
Yep.
Hadn't touched any alcohol for 8 months.
Amen.
Dry for 8 months. That's true, man.
Amen.
Not only did he save a soul from hell, but he hired a multitude of sins. Sean, I can't believe. Kim, I can't believe what I would have been into. I don't know what my life would have been. It was just going bad. It was going evil, evil, evil. It was just, Billy was just heading down a dark road with sin and discord. And then God saved me, and he took me out of all that. Man! I'm actually preaching. I've been preaching since I've been
was a little hellion. By the way, don't get mad. You hear worse than that on TV. You ought not be listening to it.
Yes.
And I said, yes, ma'am. Jesus saved my soul. And they said, I can't, I'll be. And they said, well, I was so frivolous, I can't say to you. They couldn't believe it. They said, people would come from my high school. People would come, my buddies where I met. They came, men from where I worked. Some of the toughest men, they came and got saved. They couldn't believe it. Old girlfriends came and got saved. It was cool. Guys I fought in the bars with, the guys would be torching. Men, I mean, they came and said, man, I mean, this one day in heaven, not Cleo Clark. That guy could clean out. Cleo was an old guy. He was so strong. He could clean out bars by himself. Hey, man, you're my usher, buddy. You're off, man. I think I was telling Brother Steve the other day. Buddy, I tell you, my, we had over 1,000. I didn't know that. Tell the truth, you know the word? I had people that were saved off the streets. It was tremendous. You see, God loves them too. I saw over 1,000 people in 8.5, 9 years, and 1,000 recorded people trusted Christ. I'm in the industry. And I led about, personally, I led about 80% of them to Christ. I led the people that ran the registers at the little Erie food market. I led the people that ran. You can't believe all the people that came in. People that were just street people. And they heard the gospel. And they saw what God could do with a kid that used to be in darkness.
Yes.
Listen, I'm glad God never gave up on me. Father, he never gave up on me. He loves you today. Let's never be ashamed of him. He never was ashamed of us.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've had in the Word of God. And I pray, dear God, with all my heart, that you would bless our people. Maybe, Lord, put a fire in our heart. Lord, I'm not seeing people saved like we were having them. We're not baptizing people like we were. It's because we're not getting the job done. And Lord, I don't want it to let up. I want to see more people saved, more people baptized, more people join the church. Lord, Holy Spirit, burn our hearts to be caring for people going to hell. Help us to love people. Help us to care about people. Lord, let us see the hour that we're living in. Help us not to get the mindset of the world that we get content with the mindset of it's all right not to say nothing. We need to say something. We need to speak up. We need to stand for right. We need to pray and cry for lost souls going to hell. We need to care. We need to talk to our families. We need to pray for our families. We need to go to our friends. We need to go to those strangers and let them know we care about them. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, how many Christians here would say, preacher, I'll be honest with you, lately I've not had a burden to win people like I should. Pray for me. Who'd say that? Pray for me. Yes, yes, yes. Why don't you get to the altar and say, God, break my heart. Why don't you come right now? Why don't you come right now? Get your heart broken at the altar. God, break my heart for souls. God, break my heart for souls. Someone you know is lost and you haven't even witnessed to them. One of your family might be going to hell and you never even told them about Jesus. One of your best friends might be going to hell and you never even told them about Jesus, never even prayed for them. If you can't kneel, just get in a chair and make the chair the altar. Maybe you're here today and you'd say, preacher, I'll be honest with you. I don't know if I'd go to heaven or not. Pastor, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray for me. Just raise that hand. I won't come to you, and I promise I won't embarrass you, but I will pray for you. Preacher, would you include me in that prayer? I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I'd sure like to know when I died, I'd go to heaven. Pray for anyone like that. Just raise your hand, put it back down. Preacher, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I don't want to die and go to hell. This could be your last call. This could be the last call.
Is God calling them? Do you hear his voice like that young couple did with Dr. Malone? Don't write in that songbook, "I'll take my chances." They're sorry, but they can't change it now. Father, we did the best we could. The world needs to hear the gospel. Christians are, Lord, it's our duty to take the gospel. We're failing to take the gospel out. People are perishing because we're not sharing Christ with others. Help us. Help us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Let's stand. Sing a verse. What page am I?